Check two, check two. All right, all right. That's too loud, actually. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 96 of Little Brother for the 6th of August, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me, critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. The introduction of 988 as an emergency mental health hotline has had an interesting side effect. Now, I personally had been wondering how they were going to resolve the conflict with phone numbers that start with 988. The answer is that area codes, where there were numbers that started with 988 and where 7-digit dialing was permitted, are now required to use 10-digit dialing. Here in New York State, that's left us with only one area code where 7-digit dialing is still permitted. That's area code 585, which contains the cities of Rochester and Canandaigua and their surrounding towns. Many areas of New York already needed 10-digit dialing due to multiple overlaid area codes, such as 518, overlaid by 838, and 315, overlaid by 680. Almost exactly 2 months ago, in episode 87, I mentioned that Microsoft were adding features to Office 365 that would allow employers to watch employee communication for indications that the employees might be leaving. This was a set of features that could be rolled into the checks for communications compliance and would follow communications on Teams at the very least, and probably also on Outlook. Well, apparently, Microsoft got a substantial amount of pushback on it from the sysadmin community because they have announced, as of July 28th, that this feature is being scrubbed. The exact words were, quote, "Thank you for your feedback. At this time, we will not be moving forward with rolling out the 93251 Communication Compliance Levers Classifier as outlined," end quote. As I've mentioned before, the Anonymous Collective is not really a group so much as a brand, in that any individual who wants to take up the name can legitimately do so. That said, individuals acting under the Anonymous banner have been attacking Russian systems, leaving behind messages in support for Ukraine. Cyber warfare has kind of been expected since the outset of this war, so this really isn't a surprise. This is probably vigilante action, but still not really a surprise. The Anonymous Twitter feed posted a message saying, quote, "The Anonymous Collective is officially in cyber war against the Russian government. Hashtag Anonymous, hashtag Ukraine," end quote. Now, how official a quote-unquote official announcement from a collective that isn't an organization is can be questionable. Wired is reporting about a tool that we should all know about if we don't anyway, and what it's doing for the war effort. Tor is a tool that routes your web traffic in a more or less random way through the internet and through several encrypted links before emerging on the internet at large, encrypting your traffic as it obfuscates your location. I will warn you, it's very slow compared to what you might get by surfing the web directly. However, it makes where you are and what you are doing difficult to track down. It's a VPN on steroids. It's also great at evading censorship. If a path is blocked, it dynamically reconfigures itself to use another one, and another, until a way forward is found. This brings us back to the Wired article. It seems anticlimactic to put it this way, but it seems like Tor is successfully dodging censorship in Russia and giving Russian citizens the ability to see what is really going on in the world. Back in episode 87, I mentioned that beloved Canadian donut shop chain Tim Hortons had been caught snooping on their customers. It seems as though the Tim Hortons app had collected enough data about you to determine if you had maybe gone into one of their competitors, to determine where you work, to determine where you live, even when the app is not running. Federal Privacy Commissioner Daniel Therrien, at the time of the discovery, had decried the idea that the details of Canadians' daily lives had been commodified to sell products like a cup of coffee. Well, at the end of a class action lawsuit, Timmy Ho's customers are due some compensation. How much? A pastry and a cup of coffee. No, I'm not kidding. The state of New York has levied a fine of $30 million against trading platform Robinhood. This has little or nothing to do with the Wall Street Bets activity of a couple of years ago. Rather, this is something far more on point for this podcast. The fine is for poor security. The State Department of Financial Services stated that Robinhood Crypto had significant failures in its anti-money laundering and cybersecurity obligations. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Amazon is buying iRobot. iRobot, for those of you who are not familiar, is the maker of the Roomba robotic vacuum cleaner. Those are those little puck-shaped suckers. Sorry, couldn't resist. That stumble around a room cleaning your carpets and floors. They make other things too. There's a robot that mops floors. There are hobby robots, educational robots, and they've been working on robots that'll mow your lawn. They used to also make military and law enforcement robots. However, they sold that division off in 2016. Now, I talk about it stumbling around a room, and to a degree, that's true. But more importantly, they make a map of your space and learn their way around so that there's less stumbling and more thorough coverage. So, what does this mean? Well, that means that Amazon just bought a floor plan to your house. It seems like a stretch to me to believe that Amazon would buy iRobot without buying all of iRobot's data. It probably seemed harmless enough to let iRobot possess useful data about your home's layout, but with this move, that data is going to be integrated with data that they already have on you from your purchase history. Oh, it gets worse. Hobbyists have been modifying Roombas to evaluate Wi-Fi signal strength. Now, outwardly, iRobot gave no sign of being interested in doing any such thing, although I think it is safe to assume that Amazon does have that interest. Your vacuum cleaner discovers a weak signal area in your home, and now all of a sudden, you start getting advertisements for Eero Mesh Network Systems, which Amazon also owns. You could probably block its access to the network, but you would likely be giving up functionality, and your Roomba would just find other means to report back to the mothership. Maybe a neighbor left an open Wi-Fi, or maybe it starts connecting via Amazon's sidewalk, or maybe there's enough money to be made to put it on the cellular networks. As always, there's not necessarily any nefarious intent here. They just want to sell you stuff, but that does not make it not problematic. Like I mentioned last week, Amazon has data. They'd love to make money on that data. They will happily sell that data. And for law enforcement, that data is available for the asking. No Fourth Amendment protections involved. However, let's also think about the other money-making possibilities, huh? Now, I have no idea if Roombas have cameras, but let's assume that they do, or that if they don't, that they will at some point, just as a matter of evolution. What does it see? Do you have a pet? Ads for pet food are coming your way. Does it see a beat-up piece of furniture? Ads for a new one are coming your way. Oh, it sees some of the artwork on your walls. People who liked that also liked these are coming your way. However, in discussing this with my wife this morning, the ultimate absurdity came up as a possibility. If it spots you, how about it approaches you, stops, and tells you what it thinks you ought to buy? Oh, and what does it tell you if you tell it to stop the ads? Well, what else would it say? To opt out of advertisements, say opt out now. There will be a $5 monthly charge to your Amazon Prime account. That is where this shit is headed. Well, I talked about Tor briefly in the headlines, so let's talk about Tor. Let's start with what it is. Tor is a volunteer network that provides a way for internet traffic to find its way around the internet without it being obvious where it came from, where it's going, or what it is. It's kind of a trope in spy films and hacker films to have a phone call or a data connection of some sort, bounce it off of this, that, the other thing, maybe a satellite or two, in order to make it more difficult to trace. It stereotypically involves some advanced, knowledgeable Uber hacker or spy to set the thing up, and another one who is trying to trace it through, setting up the necessary conflict for a very interesting scene and a good story. Yeah, Tor does that. But the best part is that it does all of that stuff in an automated fashion. As a Tor user, you don't have to do anything but turn it on. Each time you go to a different site, it changes the path. So, how do we do this? The easiest, safest, and most reliable way to use Tor is to download the Tor browser bundle. Go to torproject.org/download, and you will be presented with downloads for Windows, macOS, Linux, and Android. Simply download it and run it. Sorry, iPhone users. Apple holds the reins too hard. If you use Brave as your default web browser, or at all, there's an option to start Tor in Brave as well. Simply type Alt-Shift-N, and Brave will start a Tor connection. This is an option that you can use in a pinch. However, I would advise using the Tor browser bundle instead, on the grounds that it's more thoroughly vetted, and it's open source. A third option is to simply download Tor by itself. This is kind of a more advanced option, and it will require you to configure a proxy in your web browser. However, if you're an advanced user, it can be useful for routing other things besides web traffic. So, if you ever find yourself in a situation where it might be better if it weren't known where you are or what you're doing, or both, Tor is a fairly simple way to get around the problem. Obviously, be careful that you don't out yourself in other ways, but this very simple means of protection is out there, and it's available for everyone. Be safe out there. As usual, we will end this week's show with the fail of the week. This week's fail goes to the legal team of InfoWars proprietor Alex Jones. For those who are out of the loop, Alex Jones has been on trial for slander. I will leave most of the details of the trial to others to cover because it's not really on topic here. What is on topic here is a fatal mistake made by Jones' legal team. It seems that they were in possession of all of the contents of Jones's phone and the information that his carrier had on all of his communications. The legal team handed this information over to the plaintiff's attorneys. Now, this is not unusual in and of itself. However, it would be typical and appropriate for that data to be handed over in a redacted form, or at the very least, parts of it would be identified as privileged. They didn't do that. As to the amount of damage that this can do to someone who, let me be a little political here, deserves this, the plaintiff's lawyers have expressed a willingness to pass this information on to other legal teams in upcoming suits against Jones. I will leave it open to speculation whether this was really an accident or if Jones' counsel were maybe a bit frustrated with their client, who is famous for liking conspiracy theories. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Fungaboo, Azreel, and Knight Rider 007 for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our fail of the week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Yep, let's do that section again. Let's just start it again. Let's put the E in there where it belongs, hmm? Successfully dodging censorship. Let's start that again. Start the whole segment a third time. Simply download it and runny. Mm-hmm. This week's fail goes to the legal team of InfoWars proprietary. As to the amount of damage that this can do to some who, let me be, let's do this here. Our opening theme music, theme music, think of them.